Welcome to our Sunday service, which is the second Sunday in Advent. Let us commit this time to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you that even though we are separated from each other due to the virus, yet we are still one in Christ and are known and loved by you at all times and in all situations. May this time we share together be a spiritual act of worship, pleasing to you. In Jesus Christ, our Lord's name. Amen. Once again, we are privileged to have members of our light group participating in our service, and today Heather will be lighting the second candle for us. You will have also seen from our weekly bulletin that we are supporting Tear Fund with our Christmas appeal. After the lighting of the candle, Julie will briefly share about her visit to Malawi last year, and we will watch the Tear Fund video. If you would like to contribute to the appeal, there is a link on our website. Then Anne will bring us our reading from Isaiah, followed by intercessionary prayers led for us by Tony and Maureen. In Psalm 100 we read, "Shout for joy to the Lord. All the earth worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. And give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." The music team will now lead us as we continue with our worship.
Remember Today is the second Sunday in Advent, and Heather will be lighting the candles. We thank you, Jesus, for the peace you gave. As we prepare for Christmas, light of the world, shine on us.
I'm going to show you Tiefen's Christmas Appeal video, which is based in Malawi. It tells a story that me and Anna heard time and time again when we visited in 2019. The weather has changed, so now there is either floods or droughts, with potentially devastating consequences. Yet we also saw how one of Tiefen's partners, which was essentially the local church, were bringing hope and encouraging people to see how they have the resources and can bring about change. You'll see some of these examples in the video. I'd quickly like to share two other memories that are precious to me. One is of the pastors coming together when we were there and caring for the vulnerable in their communities. And together we made a mud toilet, which I hear is still in good condition today. Secondly, was again the pastors coming together to share and support one another and hearing them sing and dance and praise God with such vibrancy and life and joy makes me smile. The people in Malawi are basically trusting in God.
The reading is from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2 to 7. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
We were encouraged recently to use Bible passages to pray, so we are using the Beatitudes to guide our intercessions. The Beatitudes will appear on the screen. Father God, the world believes that the rich are blessed, but our Lord Jesus reminds us that he came to recognise and bless the poor in spirit and the materially poor as well. We pray for a more just world in which all have enough and none are left behind. We pray for success in the work of Tear Fund, for provision, education and the changes they seek to bring, for those like Elijah who struggle to get enough food for their families. For those who every day suffer the poverty of health, where being poor creates a burden rather than a blessing. So we pray, Lord, for deliverance for all who are caught in a web of fear and deprivation. But Lord, we remember also that we are spiritually bankrupt without you. Forgive us, Lord, when we forget that apart from you we can do nothing. Free us from any sense of self-sufficiency. Thank you, Father, that you have shown us the incomparable riches of kindness expressed in the grace of Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that this blessing is for all who seek you.
Lord, we acknowledge that many are mourning in the world, not just generally, but specifically due to the pandemic across this world. We pray for those who mourn loved ones, remembering before you the Sayer family and Sarah Chambers, asking that they may have around them those who bring God's comfort. Help us, Lord, to be available to you for your purposes. We thank you, Lord, that your resurrection provides hope beyond death and your perfect love casts out all fear. We ask for your continued blessing on the parish nurses and their support team. We pray for all who struggle with health issues, remembering all those named in the bulletin. Liz, for Kate, who started new treatment this week, and giving thanks that her blood test results were good. For Christine, Tom, Esther, Sarah and her husband. For Eric and the disappointment of postponed surgery. For the child, Freddie, undergoing chemotherapy. We pray for those who have lost or will lose their employment, especially those working for Arcadia and Debenhams, that ways will be found to help them that have not been thought of before. We pray for those whose relationships are under strain or have broken down, so that the loss of friendship and intimacy brings deep emotional distress. For them, Lord, let us be ambassadors of your peace that passes all understanding. We mourn today for all that breaks your heart in this world, racism, injustice, and loneliness, for you came to bring God solace and salvation. You left your Holy Spirit to bring counsel and companionship. May all this glorious grace wipe away the tears of those who mourn today. Father, we acknowledge that coveting power opposes meekness and humility. We pray that you guide leaders and ourselves not to be ruthless, but rather to seek to eliminate discord, violence, and hatred. Help us to observe how Jesus demonstrates that being meek is not losing, that parading power and jockeying for position is so unlike him. We praise you that your submission led you back to your Father with joy and his pleasure. Thank you, Lord, for your way, your life and truth, revealing that grasping at position is not godly. Give us faith then to live humbly for you, Lord, and in service of others, that they may see your love and experience your compassion as we have done.
Lord, we pray for those who are actually physically hungry, those not just far away, but on our doorsteps. We pray for the supplies to be coming in for food banks locally, like the Bay and nationwide. We pray for all those working in them, that they will be kept safe. We ask, Lord, that those who have will be generous, not just with their money, but their time. For some, Lord, are not hungry in body, but starved of love and friendship. We may not see someone isolated up a tree, Lord, but let our eyes be open to need and a welcome freely given. Lord, let nothing in this world meet our thirst but you, and forgive us when we hunger for the gifts of the world rather than time with you. Make us thirst for you, the fountain of all holiness, and actively spread your influence in our private lives and in society. Lord, in a few minutes we will pray, forgive us our trespasses, our debts, as we forgive others. Help us to let go of our pride so that we might find reconciliation. Help us to be like you, slow to anger and speedy to forgive. Forgive us when we act in ways that show a superior, entitled or self-righteous attitude. Help us, Lord, to stand with the marginalised and the oppressed in solidarity. Show us your presence in the faces of those the world forgets. For when you see weakness, Lord, desperation and sinfulness, your heart is moved with compassion and clemency. So help us to see the homeless, the immigrant, the violent, the foreigner, our neighbours as those you love. For like us, these are those for whom Christ died. In our interactions, Lord, let us be faithful to your example of atoning sacrifice.
Lead us to say no to those things that distract us from listening to you and following you. Our lives are so cluttered with misplaced affections for earthly things. Our minds are so contaminated with greedy, angry, lazy, lustful and competitive thoughts and ambitions. We pray that in this time of Advent, we may prepare our lives for you. Soften our hearts and transform our wills that we may exhibit sincerity as we follow your leading and presence in every situation we face. May we fix our eyes on you, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. Prepare us, Lord, every day for when we will see you face to face. In a society divided by race, gender, class, ideology, sexual orientation, and so many other labels we have created, remind us that we are created in your image, each of us a beautiful reflection of you, each of us your loved child. Help us to end division and conflict. We pray for those who every day seek to do this as their job, for our police as they seek to keep the peace when separating those who disagree with political decisions, for the grief-stricken as they enter homes to deal with unexpected death, especially at this time, for those on the beat and administration who have every day to deal with the threat to life from dissident terrorists and lawbreakers who carry weapons. Grant them strength of purpose and safekeeping, Lord. Lord, because violence engulfs our world in Afghanistan, Syria, Iraq and elsewhere, we pray for peace. For leaders who pull back from making arms to supplying helpful machinery. For effort to be put into tending forestry, protecting land and providing resources for all rather than just our own people. May the way science works collaboratively, for example in finding a vaccine, be a model for countries in looking for solutions to problems that help rather than destroy. We thank you for the more helpful news this week of cooperation that leads to progress on the climate treaty. Help us, Lord, to do what we can when we can.
Lord, as we freely join in worship, we admit we do not experience persecution as some do. Lord, we have no real idea what it must be like to fear a knock at the door every day. We pray for those who suffer like this and even die as they stand up for justice, liberation, peace and basic human rights. We pray especially for those who speak of you and ask that you shield them from harm as they proclaim your name and good news. We remember, Lord, that you did not hide the truth of this risk from us while giving assurance of your Holy Spirit's presence. Protect us, Lord, from surprise should we suffer for our faith. So, Lord, be with us, helping us to know what to say and be able to withstand the temptation to be silent and run. Lord, we put our whole trust in you as we say together,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
This is the second week of Advent, and this year we're definitely in a time of expectant waiting, with the question, how long, as we go through this pandemic? Right now you may have a mixed sense of emotions and feelings, maybe anxiety or frustration, sadness, anger even, and anticipation. It's been a long year of lockdown. We've been unable to see our friends and loved ones, unable to go about our business in a normal way, unable to hug and touch those we love. And for some, a growing number even, it has brought a loss of employment and income. And for others, some of whom we may know, the greater loss of health and life, and the sorrow that brings to those who know and love them. And all this has built up and built up, and it's not surprising that it has an emotional and psychological outflow as a consequence. Tier 3, more lockdown up to Christmas. How long, we say, when will this end? And yet at the same time, there is renewed hope of a vaccine being rolled out before too long. There's light at the end of the tunnel. We believe there is hope. So we hope, but we still ask the question, how long? All of this is like a parable for what we're considering in these first 3 weeks of Advent. Last week we looked at the promise of God to deal with our sin, to restore the broken relationship with himself that our sinning has brought about, doing those things we want to do in our way and for our own ends, instead of doing things God's way. Sin, the small word with I in the middle. And we saw that the promise of a remedy was given as soon as Adam and Eve first sinned, in what is called the proto-gospel, when God said to the serpent who had tricked and tempted them into sinning, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." That was the promise that one who would be the offspring of a woman would deal with the problem of sin once and for all. But the fulfillment of that promise would be in God's time. Hope is there, but for now there is a wait. Just like our situation now with COVID. The vaccine makers started work in February or March, but we've had to wait until the time is right for release. We've just had the update that the vaccine works, but still we have to wait until the time it can be given to us. And as we read through the Old Testament in the Bible, we follow the long journey of God's people, the story of Abraham and his offspring, the Israelites, until the time was right. We see the ups and downs of these people who were called God's people, the one through whom God would fulfill his promise, as at various times they followed God's way and at other times went away from it to follow their own wayward and disastrous path. Their height was when David was their king. God renewed his promise to David through the prophet Nathan by saying he would send one who would be an even greater king than David was himself. Nathan said of God, "I, the Lord, will subdue all your enemies. I declare to you that the Lord will build a house for you. When your days are over and you go to be with your ancestors, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, one of your own sons, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for me, and I will establish his throne forever. I will be his father, and he will be my son. I will never take my love away from him, as I took it away from your predecessor. I will set him over my house and my kingdom forever. His throne will be established forever." And after David, the story is one of decline, until it eventually reaches the point where Israel has followed other false gods and is taken captive by Babylon. All seems lost, but at that point God speaks to them through the prophets to remind them of his promise. The promise of one who would save them. and we learn more about what this Messiah or Saviour will be like as we read the prophets. God has not forgotten his people, nor forgotten his promise to all of humanity that would come through these wayward people. Let us look briefly at some of these passages describing the one who would come. We read in Micah, "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. Therefore, Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labour bears a son, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach the ends of the earth." Written some 700 years before the events we remember at Christmas, the prophet Micah tells of one being born in Bethlehem. Ephrathah is the ancient name of Bethlehem. He would be a ruler in Israel. His coming has been promised from ancient days, as we saw last week. And he shall be like a shepherd to God's people, and will be great throughout the earth, and he will give peace to them. Peace where there was division and broken relationship with God and with one another. Then we read in Isaiah some more about the birth of this promised one, again written some 700 years before the first Christmas. Then Isaiah said, "Hear now, you house of David, is it not enough to try the patience of humans? Will you also try the patience of my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel." A virgin will conceive, give birth to a son, and call his name Emmanuel. The names people are given so often have meaning. Maybe your own name has a particular meaning. The name Emmanuel means God with us. The promise of God will be in the form of a baby boy, a man who would be God with us. God is going to do something directly himself. He is going to take on human flesh and solve the problem of our sin himself. Today we would describe it as taking direct action. God was going to take direct action. And the next prophecy gives a description of this person that is as extravagant as you might expect for a description of God himself. But again, it's describing this one who is to be born. "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on his David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." Again, it speaks of him being a man of peace, with a rule of justice and righteousness. He is called Mighty God, Everlasting Father. In other words, he will be God with us. And he will establish his kingdom on the throne of David, Israel's greatest king, as we saw just now. Only this time, the kingdom that this man brings will last forever. And it ends by saying, God will do this. It will be God keeping his promise. Through these prophets here and in other places in the Old Testament, God maintains his promise until the time is right for it to be fulfilled. Now, 700 years is a long time to wait. It certainly is in human life terms. But as the psalmist says in Psalm 90 and verse 4, with God, 1,000 years are like one day gone by. 1,000 years are like one day gone by. God's timescales are not the same as ours. But God would keep his promise and fulfill it in the person of Jesus Christ, whose birth we remember at Christmas. The prophets and the people of the Old Testament looked forward to Jesus coming as God repeated his promise to them. We look back to Jesus, but they looked forward. They were men and women of faith who looked forward to the fulfillment. Sometimes they saw and understood more clearly than at others. Speaking of God's promised Messiah, Jesus, we read that Abraham saw his day and was glad. And Job, in an astonishingly clear way, said, I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end he will stand on the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see with my own eyes, I and not another. And Job lived long before these prophets we've been looking at this morning. But these prophets also saw something else. They saw something of what it would cost Jesus to deal with the problem of our sin. Speaking of the Messiah who would fulfill God's promise, Isaiah said, he was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was punished. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he will see his offspring and prolong his days. And the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. There is often a cost to repairing a broken relationship. And there is a cost to repairing a broken relationship with God. But God took that cost upon himself. So we can have the relationship renewed and our sins forgiven. though Jesus suffered, he would see that his suffering was of great benefit. It released people from the burden of sin and from the guilt that that brings. That is the good news that gives us hope. All this is looking forward to the fulfillment of God's promise. Next week, we will look at the actuality of that fulfillment. Hope fulfilled. The time when God keeps and delivers on his promise to deal with our sin and bring us back into renewed relationship with himself. This is all good news in dark times. Keep hoping.
Thank you for joining us today. As we conclude, I would like to thank the recording team and all who've contributed to our service this morning. Now let us close with the benediction from Jude. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Saviour be glory, majesty, power and authority, through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen.